Thank you. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 26. John 12, 20 through 26. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. For the word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, for the word of God within us." So let's begin with a question this morning. I'd like you to turn to someone sitting by you and answer this question. What do you love about the natural world? What do you love about the natural world that we are a part of? Just name one thing. Ready? Go. Okay, so that's a question we can all answer, right? Whatever our age, we all love something about the natural world around us, whether it's a particular animal, body of water, a mountain, a season. And the opening words of the Bible in Genesis, this ancient Hebrew story of how the cosmos and the earth were created, tells us that we are a part of creation. We are one of the many parts of this earth that is brimming with life. And in this way, Genesis gets it right. Gets it right that we're at the end of creation. Humans were not first. Everything came after. We came after in this story. Trees, plants, animals, fish, vegetation, all came before us, which scientifically is correct. This past fall, our middle and high school, on Sunday nights, we explored the relationship between science and faith by watching this four-part video series. And the first video draws this timeline where they compress all of cosmic history into a calendar year. And so on January 1st, the Big Bang happens, and the present moment, right now, is December 31st at midnight. So on what date do really important things happen in cosmic history? So in early May, our galaxy, the Milky Way, forms. In the middle of September, our solar system finally comes together. In September, life on Earth finally comes forth. Flowers and plants don't arrive until December 20th. Reptiles and amphibians on the 22nd, dinosaurs on the 29th, and humans finally come into the picture on December 31st, New Year's Eve at 11:52 p.m. with 8 minutes to go. Which really blows my mind. And it tells us something about God, right? And that's probably a sermon for another day. But it tells us that God first is incredibly patient. And second, I don't think God was waiting around until December 31st with 8 minutes to go to start being God. Right? Humans showed up. Now it's time to get going. I think God has been in relationship with all of creation for a very long time. And what cosmic history in Genesis chapter 1 tell us that we are a part of this web of creation, along with plants and trees and fish and animals and stars and planets. We are a part of creation. We are a part of what the natural world has brought forth. And Earth Sunday today reminds us of what the first words of the Bible are saying. In the beginning, God created vegetation and creeping things and animals and fish and you and me. Which means then, it can be hard to draw a line in between those who like the natural world and those who do not, right? I like camping and being in the natural world for a couple days, but I don't love to camp. I've been camping in years now. And you've heard this line, right? When someone says their version of camping is getting a room at Motel 6. And so we can draw this line between those who are connected to the natural world and those who are not. And while some of us may like it more than others, that's understandable, we're all connected to it. We're all a part of it. All of us essentially are nature. We are a part of God's creation that's been evolving for 14 billion years now. And so here's the first point I want to make. If there's something that is true about nature and creation, if there's something true about the natural world that we live in and a part of, then it must also be true about us. If it's true about nature and creation, it's true about us as well. And written into the fabric of creation is this cycle of spring, summer, winter, fall, winter, and spring again. That rhythm is within the DNA of the natural world. And so spring looks like it has finally sprung. Finally. Hopefully. And there's a reason why the early church chose spring to celebrate Easter. They didn't choose summer or winter or fall. Those just would not have worked. They instead chose spring because in spring, something has changed within the rhythm of the world. In spring, things that had previously died come back to life. It's a season of new life bursting forth all around us. And what died in the winter is alive again in the spring. And Easter is about new life. At Easter, we celebrate that Jesus died and is alive again. But at Easter, we also celebrate resurrection. And there's a difference between resurrection and resuscitation. So let me try and explain. Our gospel reading today is John chapter 12. And if we were to go back one chapter, to chapter 11, we find the story of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha, and Lazarus gets sick and he dies. And Jesus travels to see him, and as he stands outside his tomb, Jesus weeps over Lazarus that has died. Lazarus has now been dead for 4 days, and Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus walks out of the tomb. But he wasn't resurrected. Lazarus was resuscitated. It was still Lazarus. He looked exactly as he always did. And resurrection is different. When there's resurrection and new life comes forth, that new life is different and it's changed from the previous life. Resurrection is new life that doesn't look exactly like it did before it died. There's a story in Luke's gospel. It takes place after Jesus' resurrection. And two men are walking on the road to Emmaus. They're discussing the events of the previous days in Jerusalem and in Jesus' death. And in this story, Jesus comes and walks beside them. And Luke says that the two men do not recognize Jesus. They're talking about him, but don't realize he's literally right next to them. And it's not until they stop in a village and find a place to sit and eat that their eyes are opened and they realize who is sitting next to them. Now, I don't assume to fully understand what actually happened in Jesus' resurrection and what he looked like on Easter morning. That's a mystery that's far beyond me. But I will say that Jesus was profoundly changed in some way. He was different than who and what he was just 2 days ago. He was not resuscitated, he was resurrected, which means he was changed into something new. And Easter is about Jesus' death and resurrection, but it's also about this mystery of death and resurrection. It's this mystery that happens, and if this mystery that happens not just in Jesus, but it also happens in us. And the early Christians called this the Paschal mystery. So Pascha is another word for Easter. And the Paschal mystery is when we, after undergoing some kind of death, we receive new life and a new spirit. And that is what Jesus was pointing to in our gospel reading from John. And he uses an example that is found in creation and in the natural world. He says, unless a grain of wheat falls, unless it dies and falls to the earth and is buried, unless it does that, it's just a grain of wheat. It remains the same. But if it dies, he says, it will bear much fruit. New life will spring forth. And that is the pattern and the rhythm of creation. We see it in the seasons and the world around us. Unless something dies, new life can't come forth. And if we are a part of creation, then that same pattern and that same rhythm is within each of us too. And so Easter is this annual event that we celebrate and give thanks for, but it's also a symbol. Easter is a symbol of the kind of transformation that can happen in us. Easter is not something we believe in, but it's also something we are invited to allow to happen in us. But to allow it to happen in us, we have to let something go. And that is the mystery. It's not just resurrection, it's death and resurrection. And who wants to let anything go? I don't. To let something die in our life means we have to grieve it, and grief is not fun. It's far easier to cling to something and let it go and let it die and grieve it. To let something die is a painful path. So let me try and give you an example of what this Paschal mystery of death and resurrection might look like. So this summer, I will turn 44. And I feel old. And when I make a comment like that, I've had a couple of our more advanced in age members say to me, Joel, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it for a second. You have no idea. And they're right. I have no idea. And I'm actually pretty healthy. The problem for me is that I act like I'm 25 when I go to the gym. And I still think I'm 25 when I do an afternoon of yard work outside. And I begin to pay for it. I'm injured often. I'm physically exhausted after yard work. And I have moved to a new stage in my life. I'm no longer in my 20s, nor my 30s. And what's waiting for me in my 40s is a particular life and a particular spirit that comes from someone who is embracing who they are on this journey of life. And the rhythms are now different in my 40s. And to embrace this life, I need to let go of this desire to still push myself like I did physically in my 20s and 30s. I have to let that die, and I don't want to. Which means it needs to be grieved, which is hard, and slowly and patiently embrace a new way of life that is waiting for me. And if we can see how this rhythm of death and resurrection works with that example, we can start to look at how it might apply to later stages in life, where life transition is so much harder than what I'm dealing with, and in areas of our lives where the death and grief are much more difficult to embrace. We could look at areas in our life where maybe dreams and hopes have gone unfulfilled. Our dreams for a certain career or a way of life that just didn't pan out. Or maybe it's relationships that were not what we hoped they would be, or have just naturally changed like they do and are not what they used to be. The mystery of death and resurrection invites us to name that death and then to grieve it and then to wait and hope for new life to come forward. For me, my own understanding of God had to go through this rhythm of death and resurrection. Throughout my 20s, my faith was very black and white. If there was a question, there was always an answer that was waiting for it. How I read the Bible and how I understood prayer and how I understood the life of faith was very black and white, and that was comfortable. It was very comfortable. But eventually that structure of faith started to not work anymore for me. It started to break down, and all this gray area started to seep in, and the answers to my questions started to not be able to hold water like they used to. And slowly this new faith, this new understanding of God started to grow within me. And the way in which I previously understood God was dying. And something new was slowly growing out of that. But for this new understanding of God to arise, I had to let my previous understanding of God die and let it go. And that was really hard. I had to grieve its loss in my life. But part of grieving is also giving thanks for the positive aspects of what has died. My previous faith gave me this foundation that served a purpose at a particular time in my life. And so today is Earth Sunday. And Earth Sunday reminds us that we are creation. We are part of the natural world. And we are a part of the rhythm of creation, which is the rhythm of death and resurrection, death and new life. This is also the second season of Easter, and Easter is a season of new life. Easter is a season of hope. And to hope is ultimately to be in a place of uncertainty. Hope is not knowing the outcome or knowing for certain that things will work out just as planned. But hope is knowing that this is the right thing to do. Hope has movement to it. Hope has action to it. And when we take a seed and we plant it in the ground this time of year, we do so hoping that new life will come. And so may we do the same. Jesus says, do not leave these seeds on the shelf. They're waiting to be let go of. They're waiting to be buried. They're waiting to be grieved. And then we wait and we hope for new life. We wait and we hope for resurrection. For God is a way of bringing new life out of death. That is just what God does. Thanks be to God.